Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
Well, I'm doing great today, too. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you all for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about apotheosis, which is the process of the human becoming divine. In this show, we will be discussing what is really meant by the concept of putting God first. Listen as we explain more about the physics of spirituality, because only spirit knows spirit. To know the truth, we must know ourselves in the way we are known by the Creator. Like attracts like. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are Talking Consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and know the truth. So, Swami, I see the title of today's show is The Process of Accepting Spiritual Identity. So that kind of tells me that there is a beginning and a series of things we must do to accept the spiritual identity. Can you get us started on that?
Well, I think that's the way we look at it through Kriya Yoga. We enlist practices, but they're specifically designed to initiate this process. We're basically trying to uncover the truth of our being. We're trying to break through the veil that is preventing us from seeing who we really are. And so it's a process of unfolding. And as we go from unconscious awareness to self-conscious awareness to superconscious awareness, we start to experience more and more of the truth of our being.
And you mentioned this veil. What exactly is this veil? What is it comprised of?
Well, the veil is really mortal thought. It's human thought, because it is human conjecture. It is a belief in two powers. It works on duality. It's the rational perspective of what is before us. And what we really are trying to do is we want to get through this rational into the absolute. We want to know ourselves, as we said in the opening, in the way that we're created. Spirit is whole. Spirit is perfect. And if we are identifying with our physical form, and we're accepting our thoughts, our mortal thoughts about what's really here, we're in the shadow of the truth. It's not the truth of our being. We're in a false sense of who we really are.
And what would be a good indicator for us to know if we are in this false sense?
Well, based on what we're experiencing, if we're experiencing anything that does not have divine quality, discord, suffering, sickness, lack, limitation, those would be the things that would be the clues that we have a belief in something other than the allness of this one divine omnipresence.
So let's talk more about this process of apotheosis. How does it begin and where does it end?
Well, I don't know if it has that definitive of a course. It really begins when we really decide that we want to grow psychologically and spiritually. It begins when we make the decision that what we're doing isn't working for us anymore. And then where do you go for this kind of leadership? I go to scripture. I go to the tried and true texts that are around. In my experience, I think the Yoga Sutras work very well. I think the instruction that comes from the Bible works very well, provided that you understand the meaning of the intention behind the words that you're reading.
I was just going to say that I think it depends on your level of understanding and even your level of consciousness with what you get out of reading verses in the Bible.
And it would be very helpful if there was leadership. It's always nice that if you can be taught by somebody who can do.
Right. So let's talk about this process of apotheosis. And when we're going through this process, is it true that as we're going through this process, we will be understanding the concept of putting God first?
Well, I think the whole thing has to begin with union with the divine. At some point, we have to understand that we have a belief in something other than the allness of this divine omnipresence. And once we realize that we're coming from a perspective where there is me over here and God over there, that sense of separation is your first clue. And then, like the Bible tells us, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. I really like what Mary Baker Eddy says about what Jesus said in the Bible, because Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is within. And Mary Baker Eddy expands on that a little bit, and she says what Jesus meant when he said within, he meant within the child of God, within the reflection of the divine. And so more and more we're starting to see what is meant by that, because they're talking about spiritual identity, that we have to know ourselves in the way that we're known by the Creator. It's very different to know yourself spiritually as opposed to think that you know yourself spiritually. That if you're still working with the modes of mortal thought, and you're working with thoughts about the absolute, which is spirit, omnipresence, spirit doesn't report in the five sense mind. So we're really looking for the invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence.
Well, when we're talking about this spiritual identity that you mentioned, and in the title we said accepting spiritual identity, I think that's something that we would all want, but it seems that it is maybe easier for us to not accept it.
Well, I think the important thing here is, again, the physics of it. You can't just add on spirituality to a belief in matter. First, you have to get rid of the old man. First, you have to get rid of this personal sense of I. And that creates the opportunity for the invitation of divine omnipresence into your consciousness. That's one of the things that I really like about Kriya Yoga is your enlisting strategies, things like the yamas and niyamas. Your first niyama is purification. And when you purify yourself, you must purify yourself physically, mentally, and then eventually conceptually. We have to give up the belief that we are a mortal creature. We have to give up all of our human concepts, theories, beliefs that are creating this interference pattern with our understanding of ourselves as a whole, complete, fulfilled, eternal spiritual being.
It sounds like purification is a major step, that if we don't purify ourselves in all these different departments, then that could become a real stumbling block for us on a spiritual path.
Oh, absolutely. I think about when I was a steam fitter and we would pipe up a heating system and then we would try and fill the system with water. Now, if there is air in the system, you can't get water in the system. if you're going to paint a wall and there's grease on the wall, then the paint won't stick, and it doesn't matter how much paint you put on. So this preparatory work is something that applies not just to the material laws, but also to this spiritual transformation that we are all trying to undertake. Little things, say, for example, like if you have unnecessary dependencies, that becomes a huge barrier, because the concept of putting God first means that God is in the foreground. God is what you are using as your symbol for validation, and this invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence, not the concept of God that you hold in your mortal thought about this divine omnipresence.
That reminds me of something else I wanted to talk to you about. So we have beliefs in different things. Let's just take food, for example. And some people believe that they have to eat organic food over non-organic food. As I'm coming to realize, that shouldn't matter. No pun intended there. So it shouldn't matter my belief in matter, whether it's organic or not organic.
Right. And in fact, if you think cigarette smoke is detrimental to you, you have a belief in something other than the allness of God. These are things that we really have to purge ourselves with. But in the framework of doing it, we have to understand that we're trying to develop spiritual sense. We're trying to cultivate sensitivity for what is invisible and intangible. And we have to start with mortal mind. And we have to start with a physical appearance, because those are the visible and tangible. That is the invisible and tangible that we work with. Now, by purging yourself of all your unnecessary dependencies, see, that's where it falls apart. I think a lot of people purify themselves. But the intention here is to look younger, live longer, to preserve the physical appearance. You're trying to do something with something that isn't even there. That becomes another barrier, because it's another belief in something other than this one divine life. But as you drill down with it and you do start to develop sensitivity for what is invisible and intangible, because on a physical level, the foods that we eat that produce cravings and disturbances will create an interference pattern, and it will prevent sensitivity to your awareness for this invisible, intangible, divine omnipresence. And again, this isn't written in stone. There are some people that may have this revelation. They might have spiritual awareness. But if you have spiritual awareness and you continue to indulge in substances, you really have to examine what you're doing. But if you have spiritual awareness, like I know Joel Goldsmith talked about when he had his revelation, he no longer drank alcohol. He no longer smoked cigarettes or cigars, and he no longer gambled anymore, that all of these things lost their appeal. Now, that revelation, that truth will dissolve that false sense. And when that happens, you're in the truth of being. It's not the conduct that does it. It's not giving up the cigarettes, the alcohol, the sugar, and any other foods that are producing cravings. It is this connection with the divine. It is the revelation that you are the reflection of this indestructible principle that we're after. Now, how we go about creating that is a matter of choice. But Kriya Yoga lays out a platform that I think at least gives you things that you can work with if you are looking to experience spiritual identity.
Well, I think we're going to pause right here to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So, Swami, I'd like to talk more about the word reflection. And we were practicing with reflection at our last asana class and using the mirror. And I'm wondering if maybe you could explain that to our listeners.
Yeah, because what we're working with our asana program now is with the divine idea. We have to understand that we are the reflection of the divine. When we're doing a physical exercise in our asana class, we use mirrors, that the mirror becomes a nice tool that you can see how you're lining up in a particular posture, the shape, the composition, the condition, the segments of your body, how everything is lining up. We know that that reflection, that image in the mirror, there's no life, there's no truth, there's no intelligence, there's no substance in that reflection. It's just an image that we're using so that we can work with the form that is on the mat. Now, what we have to do now is we have to realize that that form isn't who I am either. That form is just my thought about this divine idea. Before, we were doing it with human will, we were doing with mortal thought, we were working with belief, and we were trying to change the image in the mirror. Now, what we have to do is work from the divine idea. We have to know that as divine reflection, we are perfect. We have to know that the image that's on the mat is your thought about the divine idea, which is now being visible to you in the mirror. So if there are any corrections, if there's lack, limitation, anything that you see with regard to the physical appearance, now we have to have a complete withdrawal from mortal thought. We want to give up our human modes of thinking for this divine knowing. And so you make your mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of divine mind. And you know that divine mind, your spiritual identity, has the template for perfect creation. Now, the Bible says to ask in my name. So we really have to be in spiritual identity in order to communicate with divine mind. And so it's silence and stillness that will invite divine mind into your consciousness. And then with patience, with watching and waiting, and just keeping your mind an avenue of awareness for the presence of the invisible, intangible divine mind, and you let it govern you from within. And as you work with this practice, you start to develop spiritual sense until eventually you start to communicate with the divine.
So it's not like we can just say the form in the mirror is not real and I on the mat am not real because I'm a reflection of God. We can't just say that. We have to have this special knowing.
Right. That's what the Bible says. You must know the truth. We must affirm the truth. We must know that we are the image and likeness of the divine, which is absolute, spirit, and perfect, whole, complete, fulfilled now.
And so we're talking about to put God first, last, and always means we rely on this invisible, intangible, sustaining infinite.
Right. That becomes your go-to for validation. You live and move and you have your being in this divine omnipresence. One of the things that you're going to start to find is that we can't prove God if we don't believe in God. But in order to believe in God, we must know God. To know God, we must know God is all. When God is all, then all is perfect. Now, this becomes a spiritual fact. Problems are the denial of perfection, a belief in something other than the allness of God. And so all of our correction now takes place in how we're thinking and coming out of the modes of mortal thought, coming out of our ability to form thoughts and opinions based on the testimony of our five senses, because we're working with duality there. As we graduate into the absolute and we start to let divine mind govern us from within, now we're in the truth of our being. But in the framework of doing this, you've got to be careful because you can still be in the shadow of truth, world thought, think that you're spiritual, you're still working with belief, and you still have the capacity to change finite bad to finite good. As we start to understand how this really works, we realize that spirit must be a demonstrable principle. Spirit testifies with deeds, not words. You can't just talk about this. You must demonstrate the omnipresence of divine consciousness.
I want to ask you a question about spiritual identity and the I, the capital I, which I believe means God, but I'm wondering if you could shed some light on that.
Spiritual identity is the way when your identity is the I of God. You know the truth. You realize that you are the reflection of the one divine life. However, we can't be material, mortal, physical, and spiritual, immortal, and infinite at the same time. It's not possible.
When you were talking about the eye of God, I guess I just need more clarification as to what that means.
Most of us, when we use the word I, it really is in reference to the personal sense of me. Now, in order for us to graduate into spiritual identity, we have to lose this personal sense of I, and we have to assume the impersonal sense of the allness of this divine revelation that there is but one life. There is only one life, one mind, one truth in this entire universe. And that impersonal sense of I is what you want to start to live out from. I have a quote here from Herb Fitch, Mystical I, and it's in Class 4, I Am the Way. That invisible Christ was revealed that moment as the identity of mankind. And when he said, "Thou sees me, thou sees the Father," he was saying for you and me that whoever sees you is seeing the Father. He was announcing your identity. And then he was saying that I am the way, meaning your identity is the way. Your identity as the eye of God is the way out of the world of error, the way into the kingdom of heaven on earth, the way into peace and freedom and health and abundance and life without end. That's the end of the quote. What we have to do with this shift in identity is we have to get out of the belief in God. As we say in yoga, we have to connect with spirit. We have to know that this is a living, divine, creative principle that's right here, right now. And if we continue to just believe in God, we don't release it as a demonstrable principle. We don't have the God experience that goes with that. And so assuming spiritual identity makes us one with this divine omnipresence. But it can't be something that you think you're spiritual. You must be able to demonstrate it, to activate it, to be conscious of it, and to let it govern you from within.
When you say demonstrate it, you're not just talking about our conduct, doing good deeds.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about being able to change, or I really like what Mary Baker Eddy says, to live above corporeal sense and correct it. The message of the Christ is to heal the sick, reform sinners, raise the dead. In the Bible, there's a saying, I make all things new. So here we have this principle that is restoring life to whatever it comes in contact with. And that's what we have to know. If I know God aright, and I know that this I of me, impersonal, divine omnipresence, is the same I of you, that completes the circuit. Your awareness of this principle, this divine principle, activates it. And it corrects thought. And why? Spirit is truth and matter is error. In the same way, light dispels darkness, truth dispels error. And a key question here, if God is all and there is but one life, who am I? Who are you? The great I am, as in I am the way, means way is found in spiritual identity and cannot be found in personal sense.
No matter what we're thinking, if we do good deeds, that's just not enough. That's not going to get you into the kingdom of heaven.
That's the old theology. That's with a future God, not with an ever-present living God that we activate with our awareness of it.
And then, so again, I guess I'll ask you, what are the signs of this spiritual identity?
Yeah, how do you think you would know that you were one with divine omnipresence? Now, do you think that you'd be wanting, lacking, striving, surviving, and suffering? Or do you think that you would be expressing the abundance of absolute harmony, absolute love, eternal life?
Well, I think we'll start closing down our show for today. So listeners, don't forget, visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. And once you're there on that homepage, when you see the fading banner and it comes up with Blog Talk Radio Show, just click that on. That will direct you to the Blog Talk Radio Show catalog page. And also the products tab on the homepage, if you click that on, and then online classes, that will direct you to all the classes that Swami has available to you to take. And don't forget, there is the Wednesday free Wednesday chat at noon that we do every week. So with that, Swami, do you have any of the final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage people to join our Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance to get the light in your soul and know the truth. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.